Welcome to the latest Pinnacle Forum podcast on stewarding the influence that God has given you. This is a series of conversations with leaders who happen to be Christians. Many are fellow partners and are also currently involved in one of our forums. As leaders in our fields, we gain influence. We may think that our influence came because of our intellect, our looks, our luck, our personality, and it's for our own use. The reality is that God grants this for us to use in the advancement of His kingdom. These are the stories of people who are learning how to use that God-given influence in service to others and ultimately to God. We trust these will encourage you as you steward your own God-given influence. Now on to our discussion. My guest today is Mark Griffin. Mark has been a Pinnacle Forum partner for a little while now. He's a successful businessman. He's a cultural warrior. He's got a particular expertise that you're going to want to hear about. But Mark, welcome. And why don't you start telling us the Mark Griffin story and start at the very beginning?
Sure. Well, thank you first and foremost to have me on, Chuck. I'm excited to be here. And I think my main goal and what God's put on my heart today is absolute encouragement to all the listeners, because we're certainly in a time where it is difficult to be faithful in the marketplace, whether it's a for-profit business or even a religious exempt employer. It's difficult for all of us. So my name's Mark Griffin, and I've had an incredible career in human resources. I would have never imagined that at the ripe old age of 56, I'd have the responsibility of leading such a wonderful human resources consulting company, but obviously that was in God's plan. So if we take us back to when I was growing up and I graduated high school, I had a lot of insecurities about what I wanted to do career-wise. And my wife and I met and we did fall in love and we got married quite young. We were 18 and 19. And as a result of being married so young and not being so sure, I took some advice and I joined the United States Air Force, where I really grew and prospered because I had some great men and women come around me and help me with my self-confidence. I made it through training very quickly, extensive training with the Air Force. And then I had a lieutenant in the Air Force that really encouraged me. We were on a trip out west and he said, "Mark, you know, you're so smart. Why didn't you go to college?" And I said, "Hey, that's something I need to consider now." And I did. I listened to his advice. And Chuck, I was able to get my bachelor's degree in about 3 years' time working aggressively at night. So I know about work. I know about getting myself through college, taking care of my family while we do that. After we left the Air Force, my wife and I, she went to nursing school. I went to get an MBA because many people really recommended that I get an MBA to understand all aspects of human resources. Then after graduation for both of us, that's really when my corporate career took off. I worked for Woolrich Clothing Company, and unfortunately, the NAFTA Act passed. The Clinton administration, if I remember this correctly, it's been a couple of years, they created it, President Bush signed it. But you know, that's something that's been pivotal in that I've been learning more about the effect of the NAFTA agreement. Because shortly after that passed, we closed all the manufacturing plants at Woolrich and took all the work overseas. Now, I'm all about business's mission. I've done business's mission work all through India. But in the case of NAFTA, it had a really dramatic impact on our people up until today. So fast forward, I spent 20, 25 years in corporate America. Other companies I worked for, Quaker Oats Company, Merck Pharmaceutical, Kodak Corporation. But I went through a period of time. I was arrogant. I was really looking at myself and my career. And I ended up going through a job loss. And through that job loss, that's where I found Jesus. That's where I became a born-again believer. I heard the message for the first time, clear and understanding, my wife and I. And we were good Catholics, but we decided to become born again. And we soon after left the Catholic Church. So about 12 years ago, God put on my heart to launch a HR consulting firm, to take everything that we've developed for these bigger companies and take it to smaller companies. And that's what we did. We launched In His Name HR about 12 years ago.
Tell us about In His Name HR.
So originally, Chuck, when we launched, we thought, well, we have all these high performance HR practices that we could bring to the small guy, but how do we segue it into kingdom-minded organizations, faithful organizations? You know, we have a lot of Mennonite Amish folks in Lancaster County, and they do feel that, you know, a big part of their lives is integrating faith within the culture. So
you're in Lancaster County. You never mentioned that.
I'm in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. Yes, okay. I'm sorry. I also didn't get into my family and that background as well, if we want to circle back to that. But working out of Lancaster County, we thought it was very important to provide those services to those client groups.
Well, let's circle back to your family.
Sure.
And where you grew up.
Sure. I grew up my high school years in Danville, Pennsylvania. It's a rural area of Pennsylvania, about 2 hours north of Lancaster. And then my wife and I have been married for 36 years. We have two amazing adult children, Adam, who's 35. He lives in Lancaster here with his wife, Melissa. They've blessed us with three beautiful grandchildren, Carter 7, Addie's 5, and Nolan just turned 2 a couple months ago. And then my beautiful daughter, Emily, and her husband, they live in the Avalon, New Jersey area, and they've been married for a couple years as well. They've blessed us with a grandson, Banks, and he'll be 2 in August. And Emily just let us know over Easter that she's pregnant, and we found out today she's due on Thanksgiving this year. So we're really excited about that.
How cool is that? So do you like a Philly cheesesteak?
I love a Philly's cheesesteak. And if you ever make it this way, I'll take you for a really, really good cheesesteak.
Well, from California, it is hard to find a good cheesesteak sandwich. Nobody knows how to make them.
That, and I'm probably sure the New York style pizza is hard to come by too.
But we got a lot of Hispanic restaurants. Plenty.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
You got your choice.
Which I love.
When we go back east, it's hard to find good Mexican food.
It is. That's true.
Okay. So you're set up with In His Name HR in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, happily married, 2 adult kids. What's God doing with you now?
So what God's doing now is about 6 years ago, a good friend of mine working at Lancaster Bible College said, hey, Mark, ABHE, which is an accreditation agency over all the Bible colleges, they have, I believe, over 250 colleges, 183 to 200 colleges that they accredit. John said, hey, Mark, they really need your help. HR practices are really behind. So we partnered with ABHE, and as a result, we've supported colleges all over the United States with their HR practices. But recently, what God's put on our heart is, how do we connect the students that are graduating? You know, they literally have over 58,000 students under ABHE. And another organization we partnered with is Trax. They have over 27,000 students. And we thought, well, what can we do to help grow and prosper the students? So we've used all our human resources experience. We wrote a book, College to Career, The Student's Guide to Career Navigation. It's 12 chapters. We interview experts in the marketplace. And those books have been provided. We've blessed all the career centers at ABHE with all those books, with the syllabus. And then also as a result of the relationship with these organizations, we launched a job portal called Job Shepherd. And the vision is to be the Indeed of Christianity over a sustained period of time. So we've invited all employers, whether they're religious, non-exempt, like a Christian college or a church or a ministry, or Christian for-profit businesses, to post their vacancies for free. We're literally doing it for free until the website scales. It could take some time to scale. So that's one of the really big programs we're working on right now.
You've got a small platform and a small number of people that are looking for employees. Why wouldn't I just go to Indeed and look for employees that are Christians? Well, I mean, surely I could sort through applicants and find Christians that would come to work for me off of Indeed.
Sure, of course. And let me preface this before I answer it, because I think it's really important for your listeners, because many people just don't understand, and that's okay because they're not, you know, in the weeds with HR. But there is really two classifications from a legal perspective when you recruit. There's religious exempt, and as long as the Bible college has a requirement that the applicant has a statement of faith, that they align biblically, and that they're going to follow the rules and the mission, vision, values of that college, you can use that as a screening tool, naturally for pastors as well. You have to align to the denomination. You have to fulfill that requirement. Now, that's that classification. The other classification is secular, for-profit, Christian-owned. Those organizations, you could never, ever, nor would we allow or promote it, you could never use faith as a qualifying factor. That would be illegal. You can't do
so
that.
So what would be an example of the exempt class? Would that be churches, colleges?
Yeah, a religious exempt would be a Christian ministry. And quite frankly, this language with religious exempt, that ties into our friends that are Jewish, Muslim. They can use that as a filter as well. So you can definitely use faith. That's what's the issue is, it's rising up into the Supreme Court. Eventually it will come. So we're praying for continued protection for all religion. But that is a screening tool that religious exempt is allowed to use. Now, we have firsthand experience when a person goes into a platform such as Indeed or possibly Monster, possibly other search engines to post jobs, where they're literally blocked. I have a friend that was recruiting for a pastor on a secular website, and they got blocked out completely. They said, we're not gonna allow you to use this. I myself have firsthand experience using Handshake to go seek graduate students at a college university that was secular. They said, nope, you're not gonna recruit here. We're not gonna allow you to do that. So, you know, there are issues. Do I get upset about it, Chuck? No, I'm not going to file a lawsuit against that higher education organization. I'm not going to get all animated about it. What I'm going to do is find solution and a positive solution that we can provide for people and encouragement. I want to do all things with love, excitement, prosperity, encouragement, rather than being pulled into the negativity that often happens.
Well, we know from looking around who's closed on Sunday, who some of the big employers that are run by Christians are owned by Christians. If I'm looking for a job, how can I find a business opportunity that's owned by or run by a believer if they can't demonstrate that on a posting?
Well, here's the thing, brother. They can demonstrate that. There is nothing illegal, and it's in my book, How to Build a Kingdom-Minded Organization. We skipped over that as well. When we originally launched In His Name HR, Glenn Delakian, who had a ministry, a radio ministry called Bridge FM over in New Jersey, he ran into us in the internet on LinkedIn. He interviewed me, and we walked through how to build a kingdom-minded organization with your mission, your vision, your values, how to memorialize it. And through that interview on the radio station, he said, Mark, you need to write a book. I said, you're crazy. I don't have the time. And I did write the book. I went back, and the book has been instrumental since then. In the book, it describes, look, as a faithful follower of Christ or a believer, you can have that in your mission. You can say we're a company founded on biblical principles, or we're a company based on the Bible. Things you can't force people to believe it, but stating where you were founded or how you created isn't illegal. So why not tell people that, hey, you're a business, you know, founded on Christian principles? Because 9 times out of 10, when I interview people, when I'm blessed to be able to interview people, they get excited about that. Even if they aren't walking with the Lord, they're going, I'm tired of working for an organization that's so negative or has so much sin in the workplace, and I'd like to work with a place that's trying to make it better on employees.
Wow. So there are ways for Christian employers that are Christians to distinguish themselves on those platforms?
Chuck, it's an imperative. In fact, if you look at the Barna research, and I apologize, I was trying to get the data pulled up before we had the call. Barna has been promoting businesses that are outward Christian-based businesses do better. There's a perceived value when people go by. And I see that in Lancaster. Look, my son and daughter built a home in New Jersey, and people are freaking out of the quality of the Mennonites and the Amish that are building the home. They're saying these people are happy. They're doing a great job. They're honest to work with. There's a perceived value on the way that Christians operate in the business world. It's not perfect. No, it's not perfect. I've worked with some Christian companies that have made mistakes. We're not perfect, but a good Christian company will make the mistake, own up to it, apologize, and move forward.
So in his name, HR, I'm a parent, and I'd like to see my kid get a job with somebody who I can appreciate the opportunities. What kind of jobs are posted?
We're allowing organizations to post every type of jobs. We've worked with nursing homes, trucking companies, medical companies. There isn't an industry that we're not connected to. All jobs that are available, people working in the workplace are going to be in there. We have a section for camps, for Christian camps. I think that's a huge opportunity for camps because they're always having a very difficult time finding candidates. And as we mature and develop this relationship, again, with TRACS, with ABHE, we want to have a summer program listed in there that students have a one place shopping to go to find summer work. Because I know that, you know, with my daughter and my son, as they were coming up as teenagers, I wanted them to work. I wanted them to learn. But I also wanted to work in a great, wholesome environment as well.
Is that pretty much Lancaster centric?
The Job Shepherd?
Yeah.
No, it's national.
Or can I get a job in Nevada?
Oh, absolutely. There's a HR director position right now. I believe it's in Houston. We have positions posted nationally. It's, again, the vision is to be the portal for Christian-owned businesses and Christian-exempt employers nationally.
I think that's grown quite a bit since you and I met.
It has. It's the platform's available and people are welcome to use it. In fact, I also ask your listeners that get excited about this, if they know some organizations that are supporting large amounts of Christian organizations to help us market to those organizations. We're trying to work with C12, Convene, Truth at Work, all those larger organizations that are being supported, as well as all the listeners on Pinnacle forums, all the great partners here.
Right. We have people that are employees. We have people that are, I'm sure we have people whose family are looking for jobs. We have, I'm sure there's religious institutions that are, that their leaders are part of Pinnacle Forum that are always looking for people. So that's inhisnamehr.com.
Yep, that's our main website. But if you want to go to the Job Shepherd site, it's simply jobshepherd.com.
So what has Pinnacle Forum done for you, Mark?
Well,
we met, what, a year ago?
Yeah, actually, it was September.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Time flies. No, it's fine. It seems like a couple of years. And I appreciate, for the listeners, my wife and I were blessed to go out to California. We always wanted to visit wine country, go to worship up in Redding, California. And Chuck made time out of his busy schedule to welcome us to Modesto. We had a wonderful breakfast. And I think what's really gained a lot of traction since that meeting, and we haven't talked much about it, Chuck, was I was approached to create diversity and equity inclusion training from a biblical perspective. And we were approached because the person that approached us knows we have a national presence, knows we have employers that are religious exempt and Christian owned, and knows the reason why we need to create this program.
What's the reason? There's got to be a lot of people out there that are writing programs for DEI.
There is, and there's an absolute incredible amount of programs out there. But what's happening, two things are happening. One, granting authorities. granting authorities that are writing grants to nonprofits and Christian nonprofits are requesting that their employees go through DEI training. So a Christian nonprofit could apply for a $50,000 grant. That granting authority is coming back and saying, we'll give it to you once you do DEI training. Well, the issue came up where the Christian nonprofit went out and looked and said, there is no way I can present any of the materials that are out there. It would be offensive to our employees. It would not go over well, and it would divide us rather than bring us together. So that's why we created it. We created a biblically based program that's wonderful from the perspective of it creates human connectedness. It breaks down barriers in a way that doesn't hurt people. And most importantly, we focus on the individuals in the groups, their strengths and what they can bring to the team versus any negative language that would be in some of today's training.
So your training is acceptable if somebody says you need to be DEI trained. Here it is. And yet it's from a biblical worldview instead of from a secular worldview.
Absolutely. We certify them. We have a certificate of completion. We certify them. We have internal processes that we determine whether or not we're going to certify them once we take the team through the training. And it's been well received. We have great feedback on the training on our website that talks about one nonprofit that we delivered the training to. But again, we focus on the strengths of the organization and the people. We focus on human connectivity, which is really important. And we never elevate one group over another. And, you know, I got a little bit self-conscious when I was developing this training because, hey, I'm going to be accused of, you know, a Caucasian male developing the training. Well, I've been able to get wonderful input from some of the greatest thought leaders that are African-American that have helped me develop the program. And one of the key things in my self-consciousness and talking to an African-American and developing the program, when I said, I'm not so sure this will be the best coming from me, he made the statement, Mark, no one's pain is greater than anyone else's. And that's actually in his book. And I think that's the misconception. We all have pain. Each race has pain. And each, you know, male, female, we have individual pains that we've gone through being a male or a female. So I think it's important to realize we all have pain. There's just no pain that someone has that's greater than someone else.
So if your company or the institution that you're a part of is looking for DEI training that's a little different from what the world has to offer, how do they find that?
They can easily find that on inhisnamehr.com. I'm sure you have links in the description with this video. They can contact us directly. But Chuck, here's the exciting part. People don't need to be nervous about this. There's this aurora of, we don't want to touch DEI. I did DEI training in the 90s. It was basically biblical back then. It's just been hijacked since the 90s. I learned so much in delivering DEI between Hispanics, Native Americans, the Black community, and I have so much joy in remembering that. That's the type of joy I want to bring back to our training. So it's inhisnamehr.com. We have all kinds of information there. But one last thing on it, again, about not being nervous, is the first step that we take all organizations through is we have a religious liberty track that we take the executives through, the leadership through, and then we give them a taste of the DEI. And we customize that to every potential client that we have, and then we customize the DEI. We don't come in with a DEI program that's boilerplate, because your culture is going to be a little bit different. You're going to want to say things that might be a little bit more outward with your faith. You may want to pull your faith back. It all depends. We want the training to reflect your mission, your vision, and your values and the heart and culture of your organization.
So you'll customize the training to the organization that you're working for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what we're all about, is customizing it, not having it boilerplate. We have great people to deliver the training, and we currently have quite a few people waiting on the bench to join us to deliver the training because they know this is something that's really turning into an imperative. especially as it relates to state contracting. If that starts occurring in different states, we're probably going to need about 60 trainers to be able to get it done, because there's just not an alternative. And people are very angry with what's being pushed on them. And this is America. It's being pushed on you. You don't have to do it. We have freedom to present the training that we see fit. Nobody's the owner of DEI training. There's not overarching authority around it.
What do you see coming on the horizon, Mark? What keeps you up at night if it wasn't for the fact that you've got faith in a God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills? What would be keeping you up right now?
What keeps me up at night, honestly, is excitement and encouragement that I think we're finally hitting the place in the United States where people are just fed up and living out their lives the way that they want to live their lives. And I think COVID, as destructive as it's been with the masks and the mandates and the vaccine and all that, I think it's lift the veil over school districts. People are seeing the absolute garbage that's being presented to children and to high school students, and people, not even people outside of Christianity and Judaism and our Muslim friends outside of that are stepping up saying, this is ridiculous. We can't allow this to happen to our children. I mean, I look at the most renowned atheist that's out there. He just said, hey, you know, what are we doing? It's scientific. It's male or female. That's enough. Here's an atheist stating it. It's not, you know, something that's new. It's biblical. So I think we're on the precipice of a great awakening where people are saying, you know what? No more. No more. We're going to live out our faith, and we're not going to do it in an offensive way. We're going to live it out.
So what has your forum done for you? You've been a part of one since September or so. That's a fairly, you know, we've got people listening that have been in Pinnacle Forum for 20 years.
What's actually happened is I've developed incredible friendships with several of the members in my Pinnacle group. For those of you out there that aren't in a Pinnacle group, what's really important to me is to be surrounded by like-minded individuals with the education and experience that's similar to mine and has a worldview similar to mine. It's very difficult to find that, because all the groups that I ran into, and they're great groups. I was a member of a forums group with CBMC, but it was all CEOs. I need a variety of worldviews, not just other CEOs. So that's what Pinnacle does. The other thing that I really enjoy is having people spread out throughout the United States that I'm talking with. They have a different view on their experiences. And the fact that I feel like I've been able to develop some very good relationships with people that I can reach out to, because as we know, iron sharpens iron.
Can you give us an example of something that sticks out in your mind that you picked up from your forum?
Sure. Fabulous. So there's a gentleman in my group, Kevin McGarry, African-American gentleman that lives in San Francisco, and he's been pivotal in helping me and coaching me with the diversity, equity, and inclusion training. There's a lot of topics that need to be talked about between Caucasians and Blacks in the United States, and it's important that it's talked about. So we need to get those things out. So one thing that Kevin and I are working on is kind of an edgy blog post where I can interview Kevin with some of my experiences as a white male, and he can provide a worldview on what's it like to be a Black American and the way he perceives things, and kind of share that out with the community. So Kevin helps me become better, and I'm helping him become better because he's learning more about my views. So that's just one example. There's another gentleman in my group that works for a nonprofit, and they want to grow, they want to develop, and I'm running alongside him to help him with ideas on a merger or an acquisition, things of that nature. And then what's the HR implications to that? What's going to happen to his team if he gets involved in that? So it's really, you know, a wonderful opportunity for executives to help each other.
Sounds like a rising tide.
It is. It really is.
Well, what have I not asked you that you thought, man, I hope he asked me this question.
Actually, I think the most important thing for your listeners is to understand that, you know, we have rights as Americans. If you're living in America, don't be nervous about your faith. Don't cower under fear. Fear's not from the Lord. Fear's from the devil. Stay on top of things. Stay educated on what your rights are. Consider having religious freedom training done with your staff. Consider doing DEI from a biblical worldview. And there's absolutely no pressure. We have a client that's really nervous about doing this, or a potential client, they're vacillating a little bit. And I'm like, hey, if it takes a month, if it takes a year for you to decide, we'll always be here for you. We're not the type of organization that are pushing our agenda or our work to potential clients.
I should have asked that question.
That's fine.
Well, Mark, it's Pinnacle Forum has been a great place for you to be able to rub off on other people and them to be able to rub off on you and everybody benefit. You've made some good friends. Can you think of a reason not to be a part of a forum?
Okay, that's a really good question, Chuck. Yeah, if you're not going to give the time, if you're not going to give the effort, if you're not going to carve that hour out a week, it's only an hour, don't join. If you're not going to take it serious, if you're not going to do the work, don't join, because it's important that you're engaged. It's important that you're consistent in each meeting. We're developing relationships, and that's very, very important. We don't need to be in a situation where we're constantly repeating ourselves every week. You know, we do give grace. We have friends or members that are traveling. South Africa right now is a hot area where several members are in and out. So they're communicating via email, and we get with the travel that some folks aren't going to be able to make it. But be committed, because I think if you put into it as much as you can, you're going to get more back in return. So think about how you can give to the community, not just what you're going to get for yourself. One other idea is, don't join it to try to get business from the other members. That's really not why we're there. Does it happen? Does it percolate? Of course it does. And we can help promote each other's businesses, but it's not one of those types of networking where we're all going to use each other's services. And I think that's important.
So you sound like a very busy guy with lots of balls in the air. What would you say to somebody who says, you know, this sounds good, but I've just got so many things going on, I just don't know how I'd find an hour?
Sure. Well, wake up earlier and get some things done, because we're called. This isn't our home. And we're called into action right now. More than ever, we need disciples out there that are advancing the kingdom. I mean, the workers are few. And you can't, you know, doubt that right now we're in some wheat and tares time. The landscape is shifting. So be part of the solution. Be part of the positive part of history, because history is unfolding and we know it's going to happen in the end. So use that as encouragement. You can always find the time. I've been able to keep myself in shape. I've been able to interact with my grandchildren, with my wife. I've just carved out an incredible life. And finally, on that area, if you feel like you're so overwhelmed that you can't join, you may need an executive coach to kind of sort through it, because sometimes it does become overwhelming. So find a godly man or woman to coach you and try to get on the other side.
So if you're so busy that you can't spare the hour, you probably need it more than most.
Exactly. That's exactly right, Chuck. That's exactly right.
Well, Mark, thank you for being my guest today. It's exciting to hear all the things that you're doing for the kingdom and helping people find jobs, helping employers find employees, doing the DEI training. God's got you right in the sweet spot, and you're stepping up and delivering.
Thank you, Chuck. I'm honored to be here. I'm honored to encourage all your listeners. And again, don't be fearful.
Do you recommend Pinnacle Forum to your friends, Mark?
Oh my gosh, I've gotten two or three or four people to join Pinnacle Forums.
Good for you.
I'm always looking for people. You know, if you love people and you want to see them successful, refer them to Pinnacle Forums. It's not a huge investment. And, you know, my view is, as we grow and prosper, we want to continue to bless you guys.
Well, from all of us to all of you listening out there somewhere, thank you for listening. We trust that these stories of Pinnacle Forum partners and how they're using the influence that God has given them will be an inspiration to you as you try to use the influence that God has given you for the benefit of the kingdom of God. Thank you for listening.